The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you close to the person that you want to be? Are you ready to know more, create more, live more, and love more? Welcome to Core to Grace, the Heart of Grace, with your host, Maria Rodriguez. We hope to inspire you, and by doing so, transform you for the good of all that is. Now, here is your host, Maria Rodriguez.
Welcome. This is Maria Rodriguez with Core to Grace. Very happy to introduce you today to our special guest, Susan Weishart, who will be sharing her thoughts on freedom through forgiveness as seen through the eyes of her soul visioning process and more. Susan comes to us with many impressive credentials that you can read about on her guest page on the Core to Grace Show Voice America website. And what always stands out for me about Susan is how she's been a pioneer and a bridge builder in integrating traditional and non-traditional therapies, as you'll soon hear much more about. And it was through Susan's own spiritual evolution and experience that she discovered the importance of including the soul, our soul, in integrating and healing our minds, bodies, and spirits. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And so, Susan, I was thinking we'd begin by giving our listeners a sense of your soul visioning process, both the book and the workshop. My husband and I, as you know, attended one of your workshops years ago, and we both had startling, amazing breakthroughs, literally within 24 to 48 hours. Can you tell us what makes your model so effective?
Yes. One of the reasons that I wrote the soul visioning book was that I noticed in my private practice that many people would say to me, I've done all the positive thinking, I've said my affirmations, I raise my vibrations, but I still feel stuck. I've hit a wall in one or more areas of my life. You know, maybe they have a great career, but their relationships aren't working, or they have a great relationship, but their finances are a mess. And why is this? And what I found was that many of the manifestation models, like The Secret, which was a movie and a book that came out a few years ago about manifesting the life that you wanted to live, was too limited. You probably remember that book and that movie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, very popular. But I found that there were two main things that were missing from these models. First, they didn't take into account that 95% of the mind is unconscious, which holds the limiting beliefs and patterns that sabotage us from past lives and this life. You know, for example, we have limiting beliefs that say no matter what you do, it's not good enough. Life is a struggle. Happiness never lasts. We have this trunk of junk from the past, and I'm sure the audience can think of a few of their own. And the second thing that is missing from many of these manifestation models is that they don't take into account what part of the mind is doing the manifesting. Is it the ego or is it the soul? And the ego can manifest material things, but not necessarily peace of mind. And the soul comes from a place of inner abundance, so that the outer world reflects the inner world rather than the other way around. And so I developed a 7-step process that helps people to connect with their soul's guidance, their soul's vision for their life. And I asked the question, what would your life look and feel like if you could wake up tomorrow and have your life be just the way you want it? There's a guided journey into their ideal future to envision their highest potentials in their work, relationships, health, finances, and spirituality. It's in holographic reality where all potentials exist. And I found that people literally glow when they are in that state of expanded consciousness. It's not enough to just envision the future, however. You must also identify the unconscious blocks that are holding us back from allowing the soul's vision to manifest in our lives. And once those resistances are identified, you can use some powerful energy psychology tools to clear them. And I am going to be sharing one of those later and teaching the audience a little bit about it. There is also a forgiveness process, which removes the blocks to the awareness of our true identity as a soul. And I point out that we must forgive this life's grievances as well as past life patterns and guilt that we've carried over into this lifetime. And we'll be talking about that also later on. And I believe that the root cause of our pain is that we perceive ourselves as separate from the divine source, from spirit, from our higher selves, whatever you want to call that. And we have forgotten that we are eternal spiritual beings with a soul. And we've used our ego mind to create our lives, but only with limited results. And it's only by remembering the abundance of our spirit as we fulfill our soul's purpose can we create the life that we truly desire. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I'm reminded, Susan, as I listen to you, as to one of the things that really impressed me going to your workshop, and I've done it actually more than once because it was so effective, both times really, is how multifaceted and comprehensive it is, and you truly have processes that engage us body, mind, heart, and spirit. And as you're describing it, I'm reminded of that and how effective that is when we hit all four aspects of our being.
Yes, that's it.
Yes, and I'm wondering, Susan, if you'd be willing to share some of what it was in your personal life that inspired you to develop something like this and how this process may have worked for you too.
Yes, absolutely. Because I did this soul visioning process for myself and saw it work in so many of my clients' lives, I was motivated to write the soul visioning book. But even though it was my soul contract, I said, no, I don't want to do it.
I know what that's like, yeah.
Yeah, I had a number of resistances that were holding me back. You know, I had limiting beliefs from my own childhood. You know, those critical voices that say, who are you to write a book? Everything's been written about this. Nobody's going to read this. And so I had to clear some of those childhood programming of unworthiness. But I even had to go deeper because there was a fear of stepping out and talking about some of these non-traditional ideas like past lives and energy psychology that are in the book. So I had to get to the root of where was that since coming from. And I suspected that some of it was coming from a past life. Well, it turned out that I had memories of when I was a nun in a past life during the Inquisition, and I was put to death for speaking my truth. I think they killed over 50,000-60,000 women and accused them of being heretics and witches. So even though my head said, they don't burn you at the stake now, there was a part of me in my gut that was very, very fearful of sharing these ideas, which are not completely accepted. So it was cellular memory. But when I did some past life regression through hypnosis to retrieve those memories, I had an opportunity to forgive the past and learn more about those patterns that were still affecting me. And once these issues were healed, I was able to move forward and write the book with great success. As a matter of fact, I had a publisher come to me and seek me out.
Wow.
And want to publish my book. And that's pretty amazing because these days, you know, it's hard to even get an agent, much less get published.
Yes.
And I had the perfect publisher come to me that had my niche market. And the book has gone all over the world. It's been translated into French and Russian. And when I healed my limiting beliefs regarding my worthiness, I was also able to manifest my soulmate, who is now my husband and shares my path and my vision. And it's also extended into the work that I do as a holistic psychotherapist and fulfilling my life's purpose through that work. And I've seen it work in my own life and my clients' lives. And I wanted to pass this on as far as what I've learned to a larger scale of people who want to discover their own true identity and how to do that. And also, you know, I have this wonderful career that I love. But I have to say it was an evolution. It wasn't instant. It was over time. It was a process. And at each juncture of my life, when my soul, my intuition was saying, it's now time, you know, to go into private practice as an example, because I was a school psychologist for many years, and I had security, and I had benefits and tenure, and I could have stayed there until I retired.
Right.
But my intuition was saying, no, you need to move on. There's another path for you.
Yes, yes.
And that took some courage. But I found that when I listened to my guidance that said it's time to go into private practice, and I follow that guidance, it always works out.
Yes.
And it's the right thing to do.
Yes, and you know, one of the things I love, Susan, is you don't say it's easy and quick and 1, 2, 3,
no.
That you really give it
no.
A really realistic example. And before we move on to our first break of the day, I wondered, Susan, if you could talk a little bit about the chapter in your book that's called Forgiveness is the Key to Happiness, because there's so many wonderful interventions that we'll be talking a bit later and that you've already mentioned. And so I was very curious as to what makes forgiveness the key, because that's such a powerful claim.
Yes. Yes. And it's absolutely critical. Forgiveness is the seventh step in the seven-step process of soul visioning. And I call it the F word because it's perhaps the most difficult step. You know, whenever the mind houses hatred, revenge, or pain from the past, it drains our energy and it keeps us stuck in toxic emotions. It's like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. And whenever we hold on to revenge or guilt or anger towards another, it blocks the energy flow and our ability to allow happiness. And when we're in turmoil, we can't be in touch with our intuition and that part of us that has the capacity to forgive. And true forgiveness restores our sense of peace and unity and a state of mind that allows us to remember our true identity, which is love. However, forgiveness is often misunderstood. And we can't skip steps in the forgiveness process. We can't deny that we have anger or pretend that everything's
right.
Okay
right.
When it isn't.
Right. And so I'm so excited. We're going to be breaking now for Susan to be telling us a lot more about this very powerful resource of forgiveness when we return after the break.
Right.
On Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
What if you were willing to be controversial, choosing kindness instead of judgment, willing to stand out from the crowd, being a leader in creating a new reality, even if others don't follow? You can make a difference. Start by tuning in to The Value of Controversy. Each week, our hosts will bring you the tools to help create the world that you want to live in and explore what's possible when you choose from the controversy of consciousness. Listen for The Value of Controversy every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Learn all about sexuality, science, and spirituality, and the connection between all three. Tune in to the Tantric Lounge with one of Australia's foremost sex therapists and expert in love and intimacy, Jacqueline Hillier. Our program is all about the art and science of sex for the thinker and explorer. Get more out of your sex life than you've ever imagined. Come visit the Tantric Lounge every Thursday at 5 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's sex like you've never experienced. Want the inside scoop about what's going on in the social networks of art and entertainment? Tune in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com. We'll talk to the top professionals in the entertainment industry and find out what they're working on and what's next. Your host is James Barber, who has his finger on the pulse of the arts and entertainment world. Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4talent.com, live every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
This is Coeur de Grace, the Heart of Grace, with Maria Rodriguez. If you have a question or comment for Maria, she can be reached via email at maria@coeurdegrace.com. That's maria@coeurdegrace.com. Now, back to Coeur de Grace.
Hello, welcome back. Maria here with Susan Weishart, who was starting to tell us why forgiveness is the key to happiness, which is a chapter of her book, Soul Visioning, and the seventh step of her soul visioning process. And I immediately thought of having Susan as a guest when the Coeur de Grace show was launched, and then even more so when I recalled a weekend retreat that I had attended where we had to share a word at the start of the retreat that captured the essence of what we were hoping to gain, my word being freedom, and then do the same at the end of the retreat for what we had gained, and my closing word became forgiveness, and then it hit me that they were connected. Freedom through forgiveness. Freedom through forgiveness. And yet most of us, as Susan was telling us right before the break, have a misguided idea about what forgiveness really means. And so, Susan, can you share with us the main differences you've discovered between what you call ego forgiveness and soul forgiveness, which has been so helpful to so many?
Yes. Ego forgiveness is a mask of social acceptability. It makes no inner demand that we shift our perspective to the soul's vision. It simply shifts our outer behavior without changing how we feel in our heart. Ego forgiveness often involves pretending that everything is fine when unconsciously we feel angry, hurt, and afraid. And the ego offers an illusion of forgiveness, which then does not heal our unconscious mind. It maintains the belief that our interests are separate from those we forgive, and it may even secretly feel superior to those it forgives. Whereas the soul level is true forgiveness, and our soul knows that an attack by another arises from their unconscious, fearful belief that they are separated from love. They don't feel lovable. And our soul can interpret another person's attack as a call for love. And the soul understands that we are not spiritually separate, and that the purpose for every experience is to remember that our true nature is love. And how we respond to that call for love is not so much about what we do behaviorally, but it's about our attitude. For example, if someone steals your car, That doesn't mean you can't take them to court. But it's the attitude with which you do that that is the key. You can do it with condemnation, or you can do it with a compassionate frame of mind. Obviously, the thief does not feel connected with love or their soul when behaving in such a way. And for most of us, compassion for a criminal is an advanced form of forgiveness that takes considerable practice to master. And I'd like to, give more specific examples of what soul forgiveness is and what soul forgiveness is not.
Oh, great.
Okay. Soul forgiveness is not about condoning, approving of, or accepting hurtful behavior, such as abuse or violence, aggression, betrayal, or dishonesty. Sometimes we need to stop another's inappropriate behavior that causes pain to us or to others. Forgiveness does not preclude our acting to change a situation or to protect our rights. Soul forgiveness is not about absolving a person from the consequences of their hurtful behavior. A person who abuses or murders another needs to be perhaps arrested, or there are consequences for it. But it is compassionate to stop someone from harming themselves or anyone else. And soul forgiveness is not about reconciling with the offending person, necessarily. We need not invite them back into our life if they have not changed their behavior. Forgiveness is not about becoming a victim or a doormat so that we can say how righteous and long-suffering we are.
Yeah, the martyr syndrome, I call it.
The martyr syndrome. And it's okay to set limits with people who violate our boundaries. And soul forgiveness is not about denying our feelings about an offense or pretending that it didn't occur. Many people want to seem nice and righteous and spiritual, and they think that they have forgiven and forgotten when, in fact, they have just repressed their true feelings. And soul forgiveness is not about changing the other person. This is not about striking a bargain with the other person. If you change, then I will forgive you. That's an unholy bargain.
Right.
Forgiveness is about changing our own attitude. And soul forgiveness is not about giving in or weakness, although some people see forgiveness as giving in or being a wimp. But really, it's just the opposite. Forgiveness requires great courage and strength to resist the ego impulse to retaliate. It takes spiritual power and wisdom to show compassion and empathy to those that have made mistakes through identifying with their ego. And I'd like to also contrast it with what soul forgiveness really is. It's a choice that we make with our soul's guidance. We freely decide how we will perceive and respond to a painful situation. It's a choice that becomes easier when we have healed our own traumas, limiting beliefs, and unconscious guilt. With these unconscious triggers, it's hard to consciously stay in the present and let the soul take charge.
Absolutely, yes.
And so the more we clear the blockages, and the more easily we can make the choice for peace rather than attack. And then I will be giving some tools of how to clear some of those triggers and limiting beliefs later on. And soul forgiveness is about courage and strength. The soul qualities help us choose a healthy response to an offending behavior.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm. It also, soul forgiveness, is about peace of mind. This results when we let go of attack thoughts, because it stops that attack-defense-attack cycle. Soul forgiveness is also about the knowledge that to forgive another is to forgive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
What we judge in another is often what we unconsciously don't like in ourselves. This is a difficult concept to grasp. because we do not want to own up to our shadow self.
Right.
That is our disowned self, our hidden aspects that we dislike. It's much easier to see the speck in someone else's eye than the log in our own, as the Bible says. And we often project our own sense of guilt onto another person because it is too painful to acknowledge it in ourselves. And soul forgiveness is about loving ourselves enough to practice forgiveness of ourselves and others, knowing that what we need to heal is not the other person, but our own mind.
Wow. That is amazing. Susan, once again, so comprehensive. And, you know, I in my toxic shame model, I talk about a healthy sense of self and other. And you're kind of hinting at that, that we really need to have that healthier sense of, so the more we have a healthier sense of ourselves, the more we can have this healthier sense of other that can lead to the choice, as you're saying, to forgive.
Yes, that's well put.
And so I wanted to, you know, some of our listeners are not at all familiar with past lives and things like that that you mentioned briefly. And I wanted to share, because it's just too great of a story, that Susan and I actually met at a grief counseling workshop, and we both traveled pretty far to go to this workshop, and we didn't know each other. And the presenter asks if anyone has read Many Lives, Many Masters by Brian Weiss. And it turns out that in a room of over, I don't know, there must have been 200, 250 folks there, Susan and I are the only two people there at the workshop who raise our hand that we read this book, and we're sitting right next to each other. It was amazing, and we knew that we were being brought together, and who would have ever thought we'd be on the radio show right now together. But you actually trained, Susan, under Dr. Brian Weiss, and you offer both past life regression and life between lives regression. And so can you tell us a little bit about this and how it's connected to forgiveness?
Yes. I've been doing past life regression for over 18 years with my clients, and I've seen the importance of going to the root and the origin of these issues that are carried over into this lifetime from past incarnations. And whether you believe it's real or metaphor really doesn't make that much difference, because the unconscious takes it as if it is really real. And when you work with it therapeutically, it still works. But the whole idea is, whenever we hold grievances from the past in our relationships, we often come back with those same people in another lifetime until we can heal those relationships. And sometimes we carry guilt from a past life about ourselves and our own mistakes. And whenever we feel guilt and shame, we don't feel that we deserve happiness. And guilt demands punishment. And who punishes us? We do.
Wow.
And many times when other approaches don't work to resolve certain issues, past life regression gets to the root of the problem and brings it to conscious awareness, those limiting beliefs and patterns that we've carried over into this life, so that we can heal it and release it and be more conscious about it. So shall I give a couple of examples?
Yeah, we have about a minute left to the break, but yeah, if you can talk a little bit about the tide of forgiveness or with an example, that would be great.
Yes. I had a woman who came to me with a weight problem that would not go away. No matter what she did, she was doing all the right things. And I asked her, when did the weight issue come on? And she said, after a trip to Ireland. Well, it turned out that she had a past life in Ireland during the potato famine, and all of her children died of malnutrition, including herself.
Okay.
So she left that lifetime feeling very guilty because she could not save her children. And in her current life, she doesn't have children either. So she needed to forgive herself and realize that it was not her fault that her children died. So through regression, she was able to reach out to that part of herself and forgive herself. And once she was able to put that life in perspective and she could release the heaviness and trauma, and she could lose the weight.
Oh, my goodness. And so she would have never known what she needed to forgive without
that. Exactly.
Susan, we're going to take our second break, and we're going to come back to Susan's going to guide us through an energy psychology process. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in to the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite twice every week, Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety and on the Voice America Empowerment Channel every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
This is Coeur de Grace, the Heart of Grace, with Maria Rodriguez. If you have a question or comment for Maria, she can be reached via email at maria@coeurdegrace.com. That's maria@coeurdegrace.com. Now, back to Coeur de Grace.
Maria here with Susan Weishart, who's been telling us such amazing information that can really empower us. We're on the Empowerment Channel, Susan, and this is such empowering information and wisdom. And
wonderful.
Yes, and I'm excited because, you know, I like to give what I call power practices, and I'm thrilled that we're about to do one of those. And I think about you, Susan, having integrated these types of processes, including energy psychology. And if you could tell us a little bit about what energy psychology is and the method that you're about to tell us. And I wanted to remind folks that are listening that none of the info that Susan is sharing with us, or even the self-help method that we're about to do, are meant to be a substitute for professional mental health and medical services, which we always encourage you to take advantage of as needed, given that we were providers ourselves. But they just serve to educate us as well as empower us with strategies that we can actually do on our own, like this wonderful WE method that Susan's going to teach us in a minute here.
Yes. Energy psychology is known as meridian therapies or acupuncture for the emotions, but without the needles. It is based on Chinese medicine, and the focus is on restoring the flow of energy in the body. And there are many versions of these meridian therapies, and one of them is called the Emotional Freedom Technique, or EFT. Many people have heard about that, which taps on pressure points on the body in a certain sequence while saying an affirmation around a limiting belief. And it clears the blockages in the energy field of the body. But I found in my practice over many years using these different approaches that while EFT works very effectively, many people would not use it after the session, between sessions, because they couldn't remember the sequence. And so there wasn't always follow-up with it, and I wanted to find something that would work more easily and effectively. And so what I discovered, and the technique I like the best, is the WE method, which is whole health, effortlessly, and effectively, that was developed by Dr. Dan Benor, who is a psychiatrist. It is a hybrid of EMDR, which is bilateral brain stimulation, with the EFT statement. And the theory behind it is if you tap on both sides of your body, you are stimulating the left and right sides of the brain, which shifts you out of the primitive amygdala part of the brain, that fight, flight, or freeze response, into the higher cortical parts of the brain and restores you to a more balanced state of mind. And this technique has probably been the simplest and easy to learn and use. And I'd like to give you an example of how this works, if we have time to do that.
Sure.
Okay. When I was in Sedona, Arizona, beautiful red rock country, I had to drive over a high bridge from Sedona over to Oak Creek Canyon. People who have been to Sedona know which place I'm talking about. Well, I have a fear of heights, so I froze up and I couldn't cross the bridge. So I used the WE method to bring down the anxiety. So let me explain the process. First, you rate the intensity of the feeling on a scale of 0 to 10, and 10 being the most intense you can imagine, and 0 is perfectly calm. And I guarantee you, I was a 10 plus in trying to cross that bridge. It was quite a challenge. So what I decided to do is this WE technique. And what you do is you cross your arms and tap alternately back and forth on your biceps with your hands while saying the following statement. Even though I have this fear of crossing this bridge, I deeply love and accept myself. And you repeat that several times. Now, some people have trouble saying, I deeply love and accept myself, so you can just say, I'm okay. So I kept repeating this process a few times, and I would stop and take a break and rate it to see if the intensity was lowering. And the goal is to get the rating down between a 0 and 1. Well, eventually, it lowered enough for me to cross the bridge. But then I was confronted with driving up a steep mountain on the other side with sharp drop-offs.
Oh, my goodness.
And so my anxiety was right there again. So I had to pull off to the side of the road and do another clearing. So I did the tapping, and I said, even though I'm afraid of driving up this mountain, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. And I kept saying that until the intensity came down. And so I was able to drive up that mountain, and I felt a great sense of accomplishment. And I figured out that it was a metaphor because it was at a stage where I was just getting ready to, launch the book. And there was a part of me that was afraid of climbing to the top of that mountain.
Yes.
And I was determined I was not going to be stopped. So this method really helped me to deal with the anxiety around it. So I was thinking maybe we could practice this. Maybe the audience would like to give this a try. And maybe you, Maria, too, could pick a limiting belief or a trigger or something that you would like to clear. I would start with something simple, nothing too intense. You know, you could maybe pick something like you're craving for chocolate or sugar or whatever else you want to focus on. And what you need to do is rate the intensity of that feeling or belief on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being the most intense, 0 being perfectly calm. So do you have one that you want to use, Maria?
Well, the one that just popped in my head was, even though I'm not sure what my next step is going to be, that's the one that just popped. There's all kinds of ones, so it's hard to choose sometimes, but that's the one that really stood out for me.
Okay, and what's the feeling that goes with that? When you say not sure.
It's an anxiety and a confusion.
Yes. Yeah, so you would say, even though I have this anxiety and confusion about not knowing my next step, I deeply love and accept myself.
I see. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. So add the feeling.
Yes. You want to have the feeling with this. It's not just intellectual. You want to make sure that you are emotionally connected with the statement. So you may need to come up with an incident or a memory or something that brings up the feeling. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so let's do it together. So cross your arms and tap on both sides of your biceps back and forth. And let's say it together. And the audience can just fill in the blank, whatever their issue is. Okay, so even though
I have this anxiety and confusion about not knowing what my next step is, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. And then I tap.
You say the statement while you're tapping.
Okay.
So let's do it again. Even though
I feel this anxiety and confusion about not knowing what my next step is, I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Even though
I feel this anxiety and confusion about not knowing what my next step is, I deeply and completely love and accept myself.
Okay. And take a break and take a deep breath. And then what you want to do is rate it on a scale of 0 to 10. Did it come down at all?
Yes. It was about an 8, and now it's at a 4.
Excellent. And so basically what you do is you keep doing this tapping while saying that statement until it gets down between a 0 and a 1.
Okay.
Because of a time factor, we're not going to go through it completely, but you can do it afterwards. But let's say it gets stuck, at a 3 and you can't get it down any further.
Okay.
Sometimes there's another aspect to the issue that you need to tap on that's more specific. Sometimes you have to tweak the statement a bit. But if it's coming down, then you just keep going with the tapping. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then let's just say that you've got it down between a 0 and a 1. Then you can replace it with a positive statement. What do you want to believe instead? Or what do you want to affirm instead? And then you tap that in. What would you like to tap in instead?
Affirm. Well, something like that I'm calm in the faith or trust that I will know when it's time to know, or something like that.
Okay, so let's say that while you're tapping on both sides of your biceps back and forth.
Oh, boy, I don't even know what I said.
It was pretty profound. Just give it your best shot.
Okay, so how do I start it? I'm feeling calm with the trust that I will know when it's time to know.
Yes, and say it one more time.
So I'm feeling calm with the trust that I will know when it's time to know.
And you just keep tapping on that until it feels more embodied and you feel that you've internalized that. And so what that does is it anchors a new resourced intention for you moving forward. And some people don't want to tap on their biceps. You know, it really doesn't matter where you tap. It's just you're tapping both sides of the body. So some people tap on their thighs, alternating back and forth. Or if you're in a public place, you can tap both of your feet back and forth. I had a woman who had a fear of flying, and she didn't want to be conspicuous, so she just tapped her feet back and forth while she was on the airplane.
Yes.
And said that statement, and it helped her to overcome her fear of flying.
Yeah, I've had clients who've done it in business meetings, and I've had kids. You know, I've done this with my daughter.
Yes.
And with the I'm okay option, that really works well with kids. We're going to have to break. Thank you, Susan.
Sure.
What a wonderful technique. I, too, have had far better follow-through with my clients and with myself as well.
Yes.
And stay tuned after the break. Susan will be sharing with us a little bit about a guided meditation and a prayer for forgiveness when we return.
Find us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
When you think of inspiring women, who comes to mind? Is it a visionary like Oprah Winfrey? Political or legal figures like Hillary Clinton or Sonia Sotomayor? Or how about entrepreneurial business leaders like Meg Whitman? No matter whom you might be thinking of, make sure to add one more to that list. Deanne DeMarco. She's the host of Today's Inspiring Women. Each week, Deanne turns you on to the next rising star in business and leadership and what their successes and challenges have been. Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Empowerment.
When you make decisions, do you ever find yourself in doubt? Are you trying to figure out what's right with you? Are you ready to truly change your life? Listen for the Access Consciousness Radio Show with the founders of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane Heer. Consciousness is all about including everything and judging nothing. Our program will help you break free from your personal limitations and enhance positive change in all areas of your life. Tune in to Access Consciousness Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
It's time to access your magic. Tune in each week to Living in the Magic of Possibilities with your host, Glenice Hughes. Our topics cover finances, personal health, business, relationships, mediumship, and so much more. If you want to access all that is possible in your life, listen to Glenice and her expert guests who've turned the impossible into the possible. Living in the Magic of Possibilities is heard live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
We're on Facebook, along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
This is Coeur de Grace, the Heart of Grace, with Maria Rodriguez. If you have a question or comment for Maria, she can be reached via email at maria@coeurdegrace.com. That's maria@coeurdegrace.com. Now, back to Coeur de Grace.
Welcome back. Susan Wisehart here talking to us about forgiveness as the key to our happiness, freedom through forgiveness. And if you want to learn more about the WE method that we just did and have some help with the list of common beliefs, that is in Susan's Soul Visioning book, chapters 4 and 5. There's a lot more to it if you want to look into it. Thank you, Susan, for walking us through that.
Sure.
And I wanted to tell everybody a little bit about the guided meditation on forgiveness that you actually offer as a link with the purchase of your book, if you don't mind sharing a bit with that, and then going into this lovely, it's a very short and yet very powerful forgiveness prayer that you're going to be doing with us.
Yes, there is a link in my book that guides you through a meditation where you are guided to pick someone that you need to forgive that is a challenge for you. And it helps you to connect with your higher soul guidance to be able to see that person as they really are, to see the light that is within them and what they mirror back to you. So that's
wow.
Something that they can go through. It's a free link that's in the front of the book, and it's an MP3 download. And I'd like to start with the forgiveness prayer that I adapted from the Ho'oponopono prayer. That's a big word.
Yes, and I don't spell that.
Yeah, which is a Hawaiian prayer that I learned from Dr. Hugh Lin, who was a psychiatrist in Hawaii and was assigned to a mental hospital for the criminally insane. And these were really tough patients. They were rapists and murderers, and rather than work with them directly, because they would just as soon kill him than talk to him, he decided to heal his own perceptions of how he saw them. And every day for weeks, he would come in and say a prayer for them. And he would say, "I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you for the opportunity to heal my perceptions of you." He changed how he saw them. He looked beyond his ego projections that judged them harshly to see their spirit and their true essence as a soul. And he knew that by seeing the truth in them, he could heal the misperception in his own mind and himself. And the amazing thing that happened over time, and I don't know exactly how much time it took him, but over time, many changes started happening in the mental institution. Morale was increased. There were less violent outbursts. The patients needed less medication. And eventually, all of the patients were released from the hospital. And wow. Maybe they were put in a less contained environment. But the point is, they never refilled that hospital. That is an amazing story of how powerful that prayer is when used properly. And I adapted this Ho'oponopono prayer, and I simplified it, and I said, "I love you. I forgive you. Thank you for the opportunity to heal my perceptions of you." And so I say this prayer with the help of my soul's mind when someone or something upsets me. And this simple prayer is based on the idea that everyone acts as a mirror for how we feel about ourselves. And the power of this prayer is its recognition that the healing is really about healing ourselves. So whatever upsets us in another person is often a part of us that we need to heal. We often see the problem as out there, but in reality, the problem is in our own mind. And I try to have an attitude of gratitude for those who push my buttons because they know they are giving me a chance to see myself differently. And I'd like to give an example from my own life. Do we have time for that?
Yeah, we have a minute or so.
Okay. Well, my landlord took a doorknob off of one of my doors in my,
oh my
office, never replaced it. And I was quite upset because I needed to, protect my records and have security. And when I approached them, they just minimized the problem and kind of ignored me. No matter what I did, nothing was working. And I was getting angrier and angrier. And when I go by their office, I drive by their office, I would curse them, send really bad energy. And I was at my wit's end. And I said, "I've got to take this to a new level." So what I did was I said this Ho'oponopono prayer: "I love you. I forgive you. Thank you for the opportunity for changing my perceptions of you." And I said that to them every time I went by their office. And I shifted my peace of mind so that I was not in this negative energy. And so within 2 days, that doorknob was back on the door.
Wow.
It totally shifted the energy. And I've used this many, many times when I just felt stuck and hitting my head against the wall and taking it to that higher level. And it's amazing the transformation that can happen.
Well, and what I'm so astounded by in both examples is that it seems like forgiveness doesn't just have the power to impact us on the inside, but has some power to impact the outer world. Like,
yes.
That's just amazing.
As all minds are joined, and on some level, they're receiving it.
So I love you. I forgive you. Thank you for this opportunity to heal my perception of you.
Yes. It's very simple.
Wow. And so a cornerstone of Court of Grace is to give our listeners these bite-sized pieces of wisdom. And it seems to me that this forgiveness prayer is one of those bite-sized pieces.
Yes, it is.
Yes, and the purpose of that is to help us move beyond inspiration into transformation, and that's the word, Susan, that you actually just used a minute ago. And I'm wondering if there's any other bite-sized pieces that have really worked wonders for you and your clients around this forgiveness thing that challenges so many of us.
Well, I think it's just to remember that forgiveness of ourselves and others is the key to happiness. And letting go of the trunk of junk of the past frees us up to listen to the guidance of our soul to create a life of passion and purpose. And clearing the unconscious blocks restores us to the experience of our true identity and our oneness with everyone and everything. Everyone is a mirror to us and provides us an opportunity to heal our minds and hearts through this forgiveness process.
Yes, and you know, one of the things that just hit me now is about the difference between what we, like you were saying at the early part of the show, what we do, the actions we take on the physical realm, right?
Yes.
And then what we do on the energetic realm that can make such a difference, like you did with your landlord with the prayer.
Yes, it's about the content of our mind.
Yes. Oh, Susan, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all of this wonderful wisdom and guidance. It's really, you know, that when I got that phrase, freedom through forgiveness, by the way, is another power phrase.
Yes,
the
I
name
love
of the
it.
Show that we can, it's so freeing. I could feel the freedom even in the prayer as I said it. I hope all of you also say those words out loud so you can hear them as well as speak them. And even freedom through forgiveness. Like that, beginning to associate forgiveness with freedom.
Beautiful. Yes.
And so with that, we thank you, Susan, so much for joining us and sharing all of this wonderful wisdom and guidance with us here today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope this helps all of you access this wonderful resource of forgiveness that's so freeing for all of us and can have an impact around us as well. Until next week, where we'll be pulling together all of the themes from these last 12 episodes, this is Maria Rodriguez at Court of Grace with the grace of truth and the joy of love.
Inviting Maria into your life this week. Please join us for another edition of Cours de Grace next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We'll continue your transformation one program at a time.